Actually, because of my bad throat, I don't speak for people outside, you know. I hardly manage to keep my lecture in Zen Center. But and this time, because of Dr. Lancaster, whom I met at dinner, I was very much encouraged by him. And hearing, heard of name of Senzaki, you know, who is, I think, pioneer of Zen in America, who did not have also any temple whatsoever. He did not like to spend his time management or a business-like thing, you know, which will follow by our church or organization activity. So he just had a small room available for maybe 10 or 20 people. And he spent his life in that way in Los Angeles. Worldly things, but he wanted to make more effort to establishing the foundation of Zen in America. I think that is why he end up as a wandering monk in America. I did, before I come to America, I didn't know anything about him. But after I came to America, I met many students who studied Zen by him. And I read a book written by him. And I was very much impressed by his profound understanding of Zen. Since then, I was very much encouraged to be here and to study with you. I came this morning without preparing anything to speak, but I wanted to share the feeling we have right here, right now. Sharing the feeling right here, right now, is the fundamental a basic thing for Zen practice. Zen is, in one word, to share, you know, our feeling with people, with trees and with mountains, wherever we are. That is Zen practice. But usually, you know, our mind is always filled with something, you know. Something like ice cream or lemonade or banana or, you know, soap. How much the soap cost in one, you know, store? How much will it cost in other store? And looking out the newspaper and seeing ad, you know, where there is some sale. You know. That kind of thing, filled with that kind of thing. So it is almost impossible to share the actual feeling, you know, where they are right now. That is how our life is going on and on and on, endlessly, with some rubbishes, you know, which you had, which you used before. If even rubbish, you know, it was not rubbish when you were using it, you know, it was some important things for you. But after you use it, it is not necessary to keep it. It is the same thing with our everyday life. It is a useless thing. Or we have too many useless rubbishes in our mind, so we cannot share the feeling with people, with things, with trees and with mountains, even though we are right in the wood, still we cannot appreciate the feeling of the wood. That is, I think, why we practice Zazen. And originally, Buddha, you know, attained enlightenment after he gave up everything, after he studied under many teachers. And he rather tired of, you know, human suffering, studying many things. And being occupied some certain, you know, thought or religion, and making a great effort to study it, just to be caught by it, you know. That is most people and religious people are doing. He tired of that kind of, you know, effort. So he, you know, gave up everything. He lost his interest in such things. So finally, he went to the Bodhi tree, where he attained enlightenment. And we say he attained enlightenment. But it may be better to say he forgot completely everything. He had nothing in his mind at that moment. And then he saw a morning star, you know, rising up from the east. That is, I think, his enlightenment. But when he saw, you know, morning star, I think that was the first thing he saw coming out of his empty mind. That is why he was so, you know, he had such a joy in the sight of the morning star. I think that is, you know, in other words, he shared, you know, the feeling, some feeling, Buddha's feeling, or morning star's feeling. We don't know, you know, it is difficult to analyze that is Buddha's feeling or morning star's feeling. That is not possible. Anyway, you know, he shared the feeling with the morning star. I think that was the first experience, pure experience, which a human being had, you know. That is why I think he is called Buddha. So to be a Buddha means to be he himself, to be with everyone, with everything. But to be Buddha, it is necessary to give up various ravishes in our mind. So all the teaching I shouldn't say so big words, but not all, I cannot say all teaching, but Buddhist teaching is the teaching which is arise, which should arise, or which should come out from emptiness of mind. In other words, from pure mind, you may say. Or you may say, a holy mind. If your word comes from pure emptiness, that is, whatever it is, that is, I think, Buddha's word. And if you do things with purity of your mind, that is Buddha's activity, I think. And it is possible for us to do that. why we meditate, or why we recite Buddha's name, why we read scriptures is, in one way, to empty our mind. And on the other hand, to appreciate Buddha's words by empty mind. So when you read scripture, you know, you can empty your mind by reading it. And when your mind become clear and clear, then your reading will become more and more deeper. In this way, back and forth, while you are reciting sutra. You will, you know, extend your life in its true sense. And so, it is necessary for you to read scripture back and forth. Or, you know, if scripture is too long or too difficult, to read scripture is too difficult, you can, you know, repeat the name of Buddha even. Maybe that is the way for most of the people. Or you can sit, you know, in Zazen posture with empty mind. Try to be empty. But there is some technique or some explanation needed on this point. So I hope I have some more time to explain this point more. But the purpose of our practice is to open up our mind from you must open like you open a thin, you know. You must cut hard, you know, thin, and open the thin so that you can eat it. That is, you know, our purpose of practice. And this is another point, is just to open is not, you know, enough. Repeat it, or to do it back and forth, or to continue our practice is also necessary. If you do not have this kind of spirit, or if your everyday life is not based on this kind of spirit, to repeat it forever. You cannot, you know, cope with the problem you will have day after day. You know. As long as you live, you must eat, you know, something. As soon as you eat, you will have a, you know, big pile of can and papers. constantly. We should work on it. We should clear our table every day. Even though you clear up, you have feeling of clearing up of everything from your table. If that, you know, activity is not based on the spirit of continuing to do it, you know, forever, that feeling is just some feeling, you know, when you have, you know, after you taking LSD, or after you take some alcohol. No, maybe there is difference, but not much difference. You know. The big difference between, you know, psychedelic experience and enlightenment experience, we should not compare both, but the difference, you know, is one is, you know, based on, so to say, the bodhisattva's vow. The other is just casual, you know, experience which happened to you sometime by aid of something. That is the difference. And one is, you know, the experience which you can have always, one after another, continuously. The other is, you know, the experience which you will have when you have something, some aid. That is the difference. I'm not comparing, you know, our experience with some other experience, but to make, you know, clear what is our practice. I said something like this, you know. I easily become critical with things, which after that I don't feel so good. After criticizing things. So I shouldn't go too far. But anyway, we should, you know, clear our table every day. And even though, you know, it is clear, you know, we should try to clear. That is another, you know, important point. Because, you know, if you clear, if you are clearing up, you know, your table, because it is dirty, you know, that mind is still dirty. Because that mind, you know, acknowledge something dirty. That you think something is dirty means your mind is dirty. So, you know, we should forget, you know, about this kind of mind, a discriminating mind, dirty or clean or right or wrong. Anyway, you know, to forget all about things is the point. Not because it is dirty, but because this is something we should do as long as we are alive. That's all. So there's no reason why we should practice Zazen, you know. When I came here, you know, I was very much interested in why, you know, so many people want to practice Zazen, crossing, you know, and their legs and rigidly and keeping and their back straight. I couldn't, you know, understand why. And I used to ask them, why did you come? Why did you come? And they said, oh, I don't know. Most people say, I don't know. Some people, you know, fear he should give me some reason, so he would speak he may give me some reason, but it doesn't make much sense, you know. So I wondered, just wondered why. But I don't know it's right, I think. And even though you don't know what it is or why, but if you understand this point, and if you start to practice religious activity, not only Zen, but also various activity, then that is a Buddhist practice, I think. This is the fundamental, you know, attitude of Buddhist practice. So I want to compare our practice to the practice which is going on. Now, which will continue to go on in the future, or the practice we have had practice before, then you will understand more clearly what is our practice. So this is another effort to keep our practice clear and to keep our practice go on. On this point, I think we must make our effort not to get lost in, you know, how should I say, maybe worldly practice. It is not difficult thing to keep you know, in keeping this practice pure. It is not a difficult thing. If you understand actually what it is. So, in this sense, it is necessary for you to have some understanding of Buddhist practice, what it is. And I think we should be very grateful for Buddha and for many people who transmitted this kind of practice for many thousand years. And also, I think we should be very grateful for the people who is making the effort to satisfy their mind, even though they did not know what was the real pure practice. Because eventually they will find out what is real practice. Like Buddha, you know, after making a great effort to establish himself on himself, who wanted to be independent from everything, and who wanted to save all being, feeling some responsibility as a future king of his own country. So, sooner or later, this kind of feeling is a feeling which everyone will have. So, we must be grateful for the people who are striving for the final goal we arrive at. what is that? No. And now I think I want someone would give them some instruction how you sit. Let's sit, you know, for a while, because we have many questions. Yes. If you have a question, please ask me. I think this is best way. Please ask some questions. Whatever question, it may be it's quite all right. Please ask questions.
I understand for some students they meditate a long time. and nothing happened. But
nothing happened. Oh, yeah. Nothing happened. That is okay. Outside?
Can you ask your questions loudly enough so that everybody could hear your questions?
Mm-hmm. Outside, yeah. Inside is better, you know. Why? For a beginner, it is especially, it is so. Because outside, maybe wind will come. And here in California, I think it is very good to sit outside. But still, you will have some, you know, disturbance. Light may be too strong. The, you know, the light we have here is just right. But if it is too strong, you know, it is difficult to keep your eyes open. So you have to shut your eyes. And if wind comes, you know, it bothers your eyes always. And, you know, you have to always to be like this. So, I think inside is better. And it is necessary to have right temperature too. You know, if it is too hot, it is difficult. And if it is cold, yeah, cold weather is better. But hot one is very difficult, you know, to sit. So, I think outside, actually, you know, when you go outside, you may, you know, fear you want to sit there. But if you start to sit, you will find out various things which disturb you. So I think it is better to sit inside. If you try, you will find out, you know. Hi.
Do you always count to keep track of your mind, or do you stop it?
You know, because it is difficult to just to sit. You know, just to sit is best. You know, but that is not so easy. So we count our breathing, but it is not just to count our breathing, you know, like you count sheep, you know, crossing fence, 1, 2, 3. This is rather busy, you know. When you want to sleep, it will work. But for Zazen, it doesn't work so well. So, to count means to do something with your body and mind. To devote yourself on practice with your mind and body. So, but it is easier to say, count your breathing, you know, rather than to practice it with your body and mind. You may wonder what it is, you know. So we just say, count your breathing. And how you count is, you know, not just counting. Even though you lose your counting, sometimes it is all right. But how you count is to count with, you know, with every part of your body, with your mudra, with your breathing, with your mind, and everything is not concentrated, but concentration, you know, means to, you know, to be like this. But actually, we do not try to concentrate on anything. You know, we just try to be like this. And or organize our body and mind. So it is, maybe it is better to have, you know, some feeling of counting or following breathing. At that time, your mind is everywhere, you know, here, here, and every part of your body. That is how you count your breathing.
How can you still be fast to come up with meditation?
Still?
Still fast.
Oh. Oh, I see. The best way may be, you know, if you haven't not much, you know, mind in your head, you know, you start to think. Because your mind is, you know, resting. Your mind is not participating in the practice. So, your mind start to wondering about, what shall I do, he may say. So, your mind should also join a practice. How to do it is, you know, physically, you pull your chin and stretch your neck. Chin and neck should be always so, but, you know, if you sit 10, 15 minutes, you will be like this. So, mind ask you, what shall I do? And he will start to taking a walk. That is, you know, why you think. So, if you are always like this, it is difficult to think, you know, for your mind. I'm sorry.
Is it better to leave the eyes half open, or do you ever close the eyes?
Oh, half open. You know, some teacher said, Fujimoto Roshi said, in way of Zazen. Watch, you know, some point. Your eye level. And turn the focus. 4, 5 feet ahead. Change the focus from, you know, there to here. Then you have half opened eyes. not, but focus. You shouldn't gaze at some point on the wall, you know, some mark on the wall, or some point on the floor, you know. Just, you know, focus is around there. So your eyes is not gazing at anything. And this kind of eyes, you know. So, if you have this kind of eyes, you know, you can catch everything in your, you know, eye, sight, angle. Focus is maybe around here. I don't feel any focus. That is how you do it. But if it is difficult, as you like, as you count your breathing, you can gaze at something, you know, in front of you. Some, you know, old students, when she started practice, she always prepare for something here. And put it in front of her. She was gazing at it. I think that is not, maybe not proper way. No Zen Master, you know, told us to do so. So may not be proper way, but for her, you know, it was very good. It worked very well, I think. Now soon she didn't need that kind of material or that kind of thing in front of her. Because if your eyes are open, you know, naturally, wide open, you know, you will see many things. And if you close your eyes, you know, you will think more, and you will have various images on your eyelid. Yeah. Many things will appear here. So better to be like this, you know. Yesterday I said, you know, because pretty many people changed into a stone, into stones, you know. After sitting 6 days. I think that was good, I think. But why we practice Zazen is not to change into a stone. That is something which will happen in our practice, you know. I don't say that is bad. That may be good, but that is not why we practice that, you know. you will have various experience in your zazen. And then more and more you will have less, you know, experience in some sense of duality, good or bad, you know, good experience or bad experience. Or you may not have here or there, you know. And you will feel always a sort of composure or a sort of same feeling, you know. Wherever you go. But with that same foundation of same feeling, you know, composure, you will see things, you know, as it is. So that same feeling will be called it, like emptiness or Buddha eyes or, you know, Buddha mind or we call it by various name, but a kind of, not feeling, but fundamental, you know, openness of your mind. So you will not be, you will not, you know, feel you are here or you are there. Here or there, it's just dualistic, you know, mental understanding of things. Before we have that kind of dualistic understanding of things, we have more pure, we have more pure, you know, experience of things. Just, you know, just like that. So, if you are more, if you are able to stay in more in such state of mind, or in state of yourself, then you will not be, you know, bothered by idea of here or there. You don't seek for anything because you have a contented feeling. It, you know, first of all, what you should do is to get accustomed to, you know, right posture and right good breathing, natural good breathing. Then you will have this kind of feeling. I should say feeling. So, you know, for us, it takes time, quite a long time to have this kind of feeling. So anyway, you know, at home or with group, it is good to sit because it will help your, you know, posture and breathing. Breathing is important. If your mind is disturbed, breathing will be disturbed too. And this is, breathing is both mental and physical activity. So to take care of breathing is how you take care of yourself. Five minutes? 10 minutes, yeah. 10 minutes. if you, even though you sit 10 minutes, your mind will not be calm enough, usually, you know. For instance, you know, if you work, Kinhin is, you know, working meditation. After, you know, standing up from meditation, we, you know, work slowly and practice zazen. Zazen is, you know, za is sitting, zen is zen. Sitting zazen is zazen. Sitting zen is zazen. Kinhin is not zazen, but kinhin is working, you know. Straight is kinhin. Working on straight line. When you work slowly, first, you know, 6 feet or so, eight, or 3 feet will be, you will notice your breathing is not deep enough, good enough. And after, you know, after that, your breathing will be very deep, and you have a good feeling of zazen. And it takes maybe, I don't know how long, but may take at least more than 5 minutes. So to sit 10 minutes, you know, to quit zazen when you just entered meditation. So maybe better to sit 20 minutes, I think. 20 minutes. Some more questions? Oh, you have, yeah. You know, Buddha said, oh, it's wonderful to see Buddha nature in all being, you know. He found out Buddha, you know, in all being, Buddha nature in all being, you know. But when he said so, it was too late, I think. You know, when he said so, that was not enlightenment. You know, that was the first step to the ordinary world. You know, I think so. People may say, you know, when or after he saw the morning star, he attained enlightenment. By seeing it, he attained enlightenment, you know, and as if a morning star helped him to attain enlightenment.